am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that is Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were involved.
You were.
You
are racist.
He said he was.
You are very racist.
He said he was.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he was.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist, you're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs, fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. And guess what? It feels like it's been a year. It's been ages. Doesn't it feel like it's been forever? Welcome to the new year, I guess. And it's interesting already, and undoubtedly gonna get more interesting as the year progresses. I'm sure that fun things are in store. I don't want to prejudice the year too much from the outset, but you know, people have speculated in the past about judgment in a very blunted and sort of myopic kind of way, that certain things are judgment or whatever. But I do think that there's an aspect of sort of reaping what we've sown or been encouraged to be a part of sowing. And it's interesting that the way that concepts are sort of turned on their head is, you know, is burning books a bad thing? We've been led to believe that, you know, only authoritarians and totalitarians do that. But when you understand that, I mean, when you come to realize, as I have, that everything that is lifted up and celebrated and revered in, you know, Western literature is really categorically apostate. It is of what I would call the Western esoteric canon. Then you kind of, you know, and it's not overtly so. That's the thing. That's why it works so well. But it does celebrate the God of self. And so when you understand how that works, and then you realize the correlation between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and that original deception and all of this literature that really seems to be born from that, getting people to prostrate themselves before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, this is a way, just like the devil said, you know, in Genesis chapter 3, you shall become as God, you shall be as gods. So what does that mean? It is a denial of the one and only, you know, the creator. And so if you follow that line of thinking, it's just interesting kind of how that works. And so now we're, you know, this, you look around us, this society that is not natural, it's not, in a sense, it's not reality. Electricity, you know, running water, indoor plumbing, these things do not occur in nature. And we lose sight of that and press on as though, you know, we are gods. And so, you know, one kind of thinks of passages like Romans chapter 1 that I've mentioned before. It's a new year. Perhaps we could kick off with Oswald Chambers. I think January 2nd is interesting. I think the end of the year is interesting. A lot going on already. A lot of people, you know, health problems, a lot of deaths in the final days of the year, and first days of the final days of last year and the first days of this year. I mean, you got folks like Barbara Walters, obviously, the Pope Emeritus, Benedict the 16th, and Pele, the soccer player, and a number of other folks. Historically, this is, I think, kind of an interesting time of year. Also, people who also died on December 30th, Don Wells back in 2020, Marianne on Gilligan's Island, Erica Garner, her dad, Eric, you know, I can't breathe, Eric Garner, Saddam Hussein, back in 2006. Terry Peck was a Falkland Islands police officer, war hero, and spy. He died on December 30th, 2006. Also, Artie Shaw, American clarinet player, big band guy. So, you know, it's an interesting time of year. Remember last year on December 31st, Betty White passed away. Natalie Cole died on December 31st in 2015. Wayne Rogers also died on December 31st in 2015. Trapper on MASH. Woody Strode died on December 31st back in 1994. Ricky Nelson. Marshall McLuhan also died on December 31st back in 1980. So, I don't know. Interesting time of year always. Other folks, Vivian Westwood died on December 29th this year, or, you know, 2022. Edgar Savisaar, also Estonian politician, interior minister. So, I don't know. It's always interesting. Speaking of Pele, Barbara Walters, and Pope Benedict, they're all advanced in years, but I always find it curious. Anita Pointer also died on December 31st this year. One of the Pointer sisters. I don't know. I always think it's interesting. There are others, too, that escape me at the moment, but especially over the last couple of years, it's been difficult. I think it's been a mass casualty event. I've mentioned that from pretty much the outset. I think by April or May of 2020, I was saying, I think it's going to be a mass casualty event. And there are psychological forces that are being brought to bear that most are conveniently ignoring. Again, you know, reaping what we sow. If we offer ourselves up You know, the Bible says we're supposed to offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice. But, you know, you can do that other places and other ways. And I think that's, I would say, a quite literal aspect of what's been happening over the last going on 3 years now. That's just my personal perspective. Anyway, I got some things to share this morning, so we'll get to that. And there's also, you know, the Damar Hamlin thing. You know, that's a high profile you know, shall we call it? Well, let's just say it was an incident for now. And, you know, what happened? I think we all have our suspicions, but, you know, not wishing anyone ill. All the best to him and his family, and speedy recovery if that's possible. It doesn't look promising from what I've read. So, anyway, that's unfortunate. So the Oswald Chambers Clouds and Darkness, January 3rd entry, Clouds and Darkness, citing Psalm 97:2, clouds and darkness are round about him. Chambers wrote, "A man who has not been born of the Spirit of God will tell you that the teachings of Jesus are simple. But when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, you find clouds and darkness are round about him," quote unquote. When we come into close contact with the teachings of Jesus Christ, we have our first insight into this aspect of things. The only possibility of understanding the teaching of Jesus is by the light of the Spirit of God on the inside. And I would say that harkens to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 16 in particular. If we have never had the experience of taking our commonplace religious shoes off our commonplace religious feet and getting rid of all the undue familiarity with which we approach God, it is questionable whether we have ever stood in his presence. This reminds me of the conversations that surround the chosen, which, you know, to me is, again, it's a harbinger. The lack of reverence and respect and a healthy fear of God, if you will. If we have never had the experience of taking our commonplace religious shoes off, our commonplace religious feet, and getting rid of all the undue familiarity with which we approach God. But he says, yeah, I know, but like our earthly fathers, you know, when we were still raised in a healthy, somewhat normal, somewhat well-adjusted environment, we had a healthy respect and reverence for our earthly fathers. So, you know, there is a familiarity that's too close. I remember with my grandmother on my dad's side in particular, she was amazing. She, you know, what can you say? She was somebody who could do amazing things and you would never know it. She was, you know, that generation was understated and perhaps underrated. But, you know, she could do amazing things with just about anything. Extremely, you know, talented and just amazing what she could do with anything. And, you know, being my grandmother at a young age, there was a degree of familiarity that on occasion went too far. And I remember, so, you know, my grandparents owned a laundromat for about 30 years when I was growing up. And, there was a time when I was pretty young that I was, you know, they wore aprons with change in them. The laundromat was actually downstairs. They lived upstairs up above the laundromat. And worked in the laundromat down below. And so, you know, as grandkids, if we were staying with them, we would usually stay and play upstairs while they worked downstairs. And so every once in a while, like during lunch or something, you know, grandma would come up to check on us or make lunch or something like that. And so they wore aprons, and, you know, if she didn't take the apron off when she came upstairs, then she has this apron on. And sometimes we'd get excited about things, and obviously we're little kids and our world is all about us. And so I remember tugging on her apron once in particular and being disrespectful about it, being disruptive and, you know, excited, but expressing my excitement in a way that was disruptive and disrespectful. And I remember her looking at me, and all it took was a look. And that was enough. I realized that it was, I had gotten a little too familiar, as Chambers puts it, the undue familiarity. And that look put me right back into a place of, yes, you can be familiar. Yes, of course, I want you close to me, but let's not get carried away, shall we? So if you've never had the experience of taking off, if we've never had the experience of taking off our commonplace religious shoes, off our commonplace religious feet, and getting rid of all the undue familiarity with which we approach God, it is questionable whether we have ever stood in his presence. And the last thing that I'll say about that is the same can be said of the devil in a sense. We do not have a healthy sense of respect of you know, fire, things that can burn us. Same kind of thing. And so you hear that, I mean, if you watch TBN and even some of the other places, you know, if you listen to certain folks, is it, I want to say it's Kenneth Copeland. Then you hear that kind of lack of respect. And if you read the short letter of Jude in the Bible, you get a very clear sense that that's not a good thing. So, you know, as an example, Jude 1:7-10, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. So that's not a good thing either. Anyway, to finish Chambers, so we can press on before we go into the break. The people who are flippant and familiar are those who have never yet been introduced to Jesus Christ. After the amazing delight and liberty of realizing what Jesus Christ does, we come... amazing delight and liberty of realizing what Jesus Christ does comes the impenetrable darkness of realizing who he is. Finish that when we come back. Stick around.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Chambers by Most for His Highest, the classic edition. I don't understand why. If you adulterate it, if you change it, it's not Oswald Chambers. So I guess, you know, we could say the same thing about Bible translations. It's interesting. I reviewed my fancy study Bible. It's so interesting to me. I better not even do that. I better finish this thought first. The sleight of hand, the assumptions that are made that, you know, sound good, but not really. It sounded good when I, you know. So to the people who are flippant and familiar Or excuse me. And so this is the conclusion of Oswald Chambers' My Almost First Highest, January 3rd entry, Clouds and Darkness. So he writes, the people who are flippant and familiar are those who have never yet been introduced to Jesus Christ. After the amazing delight and liberty of realizing what Jesus Christ does, comes the impenetrable darkness of realizing who he is. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, not the words I have spoken. They are spirit and they are life. The Bible has been so many words to us, clouds and darkness. Then all of a sudden, the words become spirit and life because Jesus re-speaks them to us in a particular condition. That is the way God speaks to us, not by visions and dreams, but by words. When a man gets to God, it is by the most simple way of words. I call them the wows and does because, you know, it is awesome when you realize these things or when, you know, the Holy Spirit imparts these things. And then, you know, in the next instant, you think, wow, you know, oh, duh, that's just common sense. Of course. Why didn't I think of that? So it's interesting how that works. Which sort of reminds me of miracles. You know, miracles can be explained away. You know, God doesn't break his own rules. But he may bend the chords of the universe a little bit, which to me is like playing a piano or a guitar. You know, if you bend the chord, it makes a musical tone or a note. And so if you do that with a particular skill, we call that music. So just my own two bits on the matter. So I was reviewing this fancy study Bible, and it's, you know, good, these kinds of things. Let's see, you know, how to use this study Bible. First, you must use it. Second, read and study wisely. Third, correlate the teaching of the particular section you're studying with other parts of Scripture. The Bible corroborates itself. Four, to hear God speak to you. Of course, you want to, four, hear God speak to you through what you've been studying. Do not invent some message that is not in the text in order to justify an idea you have or course of action you want to take. In the plain meaning of the text, there is ample material for the Holy Spirit to use to speak to you and meet your individual needs. Further, the more you study, the greater reservoir of Bible truth you will build up from which the Spirit can draw to correct, encourage, and guide you. And, you know, speaking of the plain text, you know, the Gnostic tradition is to seek some kind of hidden thing. But the plain text, I mean, that's what the Koine Greek was, the common vernacular, if you will. And so, you know, there are those folks who say, we want to make a translation in the common vernacular of the day. And I can appreciate that to an extent. But then, you know, seems like we've gone too far. And it seems like now we can look back over the last 130 years or so, and we can see what that has produced. And I don't think it's good. I think generally speaking, it's not a good trend. Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Welcome back. Okay, so interesting things, you know, getting into the translation, the way that things have been changed, the adulteration of all things, basically. Interesting what's been happening. This happens in curious ways. You know, if you can change language, again, you know, some folks have observed that language was man's first technology, so to speak. So here is an example. If you look at the translation, speaking of the translation, let me just, from the this, you know, fancy study Bible, Principles of Translation, Modern English Usage. The attempt has been made to render the grammar and terminology in contemporary English when it was felt. When it was felt by whom? God or men? When it was felt that the word for word literalness was unacceptable to the modern reader. Okay, wait a minute. So you're telling me the person who is coming in, like the person who least, you know, is, shall we say, least qualified to weigh in on the matter. Unacceptable to the modern reader. So you're talking, and I think we could generally agree, the general context there is the new, you know, because the people who are concerned with this kind of thing, generally speaking, you know, are those like those on this broadcast. We've had this conversation where, you know, translations matter kind of thing. You're generally not concerned with that at the outset. And I've even said, you know, people say, what is the best translation? Well, you know, wagons are circled around certain translations, particularly the King James. I still believe that, you know, the Holy Spirit can do things that, you know, are beyond man's comprehension or understanding. But, you know, why make it more difficult? But, you know, the conversation about translations is not something beyond the fact, you know, that someone just wants to draw as near to God as possible from the outset. You know, a young Christian, just to put it in those terms, most people are not concerned with the nuanced debate there about translations. Really not even familiar with the landscape. So, you know, this idea, when it was felt that the word for word literalness was unacceptable to the modern reader, that's a curious sentence to me. A change was made in the direction of a more current English idiom. Really? Well, what happens when you translate away concepts that, you know, maybe historically we do not observe but are still relevant? You know, without getting into that, it's interesting. In the instances where this has been done, the more literal rendering has been indicated in the notes. Okay. But who looks at the notes? And when you look at the notes, your mind says, this in the text is the correct. This in the notes is basically, you know, a less than perfect translation. So our mind can do funny things with those kinds of things. In particular, frequently "and" is not translated at the beginning of sentences because of differences in style between ancient and modern writing. Punctuation is a relatively modern invention, and ancient writers often linked most of their sentences with "and" or other connectives. Also, the Hebrew idiom "answered and said" is sometimes reduced to "answered" or "said" as demanded by the context. For current English, the idiom "it came about" that has not been translated in the New Testament, except where a major transition is needed. So again, you know, it's interesting. With this, let's just start with punctuation. You know, punctuation is a relatively modern invention, and ancient writers often, okay, you know, I mean, I kind of, sure, I understand. But then you think of Jesus himself saying, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." That's that's quite a statement. So, you know, every I will be dotted, every T will be crossed. It's more specific and more nuanced even than that, than the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T. Those are more obvious to the, you know, those of us who are not fluent in Hebrew. The yot and the tittle, we don't even notice them. We don't recognize them. But, you know, apparently these things are, you know, every single nuance of character is there for a reason. So, you know, to start playing fast and loose with that and moving in the direction of translations like The Message, maybe not such a good idea. And then there's this Hebrew text in the present translation. The latest edition of Rudolf Kittel's Biblia Hebraica has been employed together with the most recent Light from Lexicography, Cognate Languages, and the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so my marginal note says, yikes. Hebrew tenses. Consecution of tenses in Hebrew remains a puzzling factor in translation. The translators have been guided by the requirements of a literal translation, the sequence of tenses, and the immediate and broad contexts. So, you know, all the more reason to stick to the original literal as closely as possible, I would say. Are we smarter than God? You know, should the translators have been guided by the Holy Spirit? I don't know. I think maybe that's probably the best course of action there. And then, you know, you have other similar kinds of things. Not trying to get sidetracked on this, but, you know, Greek text. Consideration was given to the latest available manuscripts with a view to determining the best Greek texts. The best Greek text. Well, that's, you know, a relative term or concept. The best, what constitutes best? Who decides what determines what best is? In most instances, the 26th edition of Eberhard Nestle's Novum Testamentum Grace was followed. So, you know, again, when it comes to this kind of thing, you know, beware Alexandria and the influence of folks like Westcott and Hort, and this rewriting of history. We rely on these, you know, what we hear is, oh, well, we have these manuscripts that are actually older, and I see them as newer. You just discovered this. And you have, you know, the controversies that surround them. Westcott and Hort themselves are controversial. And, you know, then you have curious guys like Constantine Simonides. And, you know, the story of his claim that he was the author of Codex Sinaiticus. Nah, it's a forgery. I wrote it. Just kidding. And that was early on. But then we apparently forgot about that. And, you know, it's interesting how this kind of thing was swept under the rug. I mean, I think that's a major issue. And so the point being that these texts, these manuscripts should be maybe, you know, we view that with a grain of skepticism. What was changed and why? Who was it that I'm going to have to, maybe in the next break I can find what I'm thinking of. You know, the some of the tools that we have in terms of technology to, you know, in technology, what you call it is a diff. You know, when you run to look at two different documents, basically, and to see what the differences in these documents are. You can do that. Coders do it all the time. And so you can use certain software libraries and commands to do that very quickly and easily. And so, you know, I know some folks who have done that in a couple of cases. It's very interesting, you know, especially when it comes to the translations and things. So anyway, not to belabor this issue, you know, same kind of thing. Greek tenses, a careful distinction has been made in the treatment of the Greek aorist tense, usually translated as the English past, he did, and the Greek imperfect tense. Anyway, let's see. In some contexts, the difference between the Greek imperfect and the English past is conveyed better by the choice of vocabulary or by other words in context. And such cases, the Greek imperfect may be rendered as a simple past tense. Had an illness for many years would be preferable to was having an illness for many years and would be understood in the same way. You know, again, one wonders what is lost when these kinds of when this kind of, you know, creative license, for lack of a better way to put it, is taken. You know, ultimately you have to hope that these folks are led by the Holy Spirit and doing what they do. And, you know, same kinds of things happen with other things, you know, the explanation of the personal pronouns and especially those that pertain to God and the names of God. And that was something that Mike in Kentucky called and mentioned. And I addressed that, I think, the next day. You know, the way that worked in the King James, but it has been sort of obfuscated in subsequent translations. It's not something that is as clear. Along with the, as has been noted in these newer translations, thou, thee, and thy are not used in this edition, have been rendered as you and yours. So that's a that's reductive. And so, you know, if you read the modern English translations and then you go back and read the King James, the thou, thee, and thy are sort of lost on most people. There's a distinction there that is lost. So anyway, you know, all of that is to say, I think we are reaping what we've sown or been encouraged to sow, and we've been drinking from the trough of the Western esoteric canon. And you know, that has had a particular result over the last quite some time. You know, according to, if you go to that document over at Lucius Trust, Work of the Hierarchy, even the bad guys say 500 years. Basic cleavages and separateness. Unrecognized 500 years ago are now recognized as harmful and remedies are sought. So, what happened around that time? Well, we got Johannes Gutenberg's printing press, speaking of books and things. So, anyway, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Beyond the suns that guard this roost, beyond
beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest ad campaigns. An old man sits collecting stamps in a room all filled with Chinese lamps. He saves what others throw away. He says that he'll be rich someday.
Final segment of the first hour of today's broadcast. So here's an example of what I'm talking about with language and the way that we are moving along a continuum of dialectic nature in seemingly, anyway, plausibly deniable fashion. Nah, this is just – it's a coincidence, Chris. Come on. This is – it's not like there's any of this that's intentional. Well, you know, again, if you do not have a healthy respect for the angelic majesties, shall we say, you know, to put it in one sense or one context, again, from Jude. You know, yet in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. Well, you know, someone we're supposed to. Really? Because verse 9 says, but Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil himself and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these men revile things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. You know, you see the angels with the fire sword in the Old Testament, you know, I don't know, maybe in modern vernacular, a lightsaber kind of thing, but I think it's even more awesome than that, and you would be awestruck seeing it. You know, the you see in the Old Testament examples of you know, 2 Kings 19, 185,000 soldiers killed by an angel. These are Assyrian soldiers, which represents, you know, the Babylonian Empire, the old world order from Genesis 6 and 11 that is seeking to reinstitute itself today, calling itself, you know, the new world order, or, you know, that vernacular type thing. So, not having a healthy respect. Anyway, that doesn't get to the language. I'll finish the thought on the language and we'll go to the phones when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.